hoyom ispalel v'knisosoy lebeis hamedrash. Reb Nechunya ben Akona used to daven when he entered the Beis HaMedrash, ubi yitziyosoy, and so too when he exited the Beis HaMedrash, tefillah k'tzara, a short tefillah. Omru loy, they said to him, now these words are a little bit strange, Omru loy, they said to him, ma mokoim letefillah zu. If we would literally translate those words, it sounds like, ma mokoim, what is the place of this tefillah? But if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, kloimar, what this in fact means to say is, ma tiva. Ma tiva means, what is the nature of this tefillah? Not, what is the place of this tefillah, but rather, what is the nature of this tefillah? In other words, they knew that he davened, both upon entering and exiting the Beis HaKnesses, but they weren't sure what in fact he said. So they asked him, ma tivo, what is the name? Can you still hear me?
Yes.
You can?
Yes.
Omru lo, ma mokoim letfilo zu. So they asked him, what is the mokoim? What is the nature of this tefillah that you are davening? Omar lohem, so he said to them, b'knisosi, when I enter the Beis HaMedrash, ani mispalel, then I daven, shelo yera, lo yera means there should not occur, devar takola, any mistake, al yodi, through me. So I daven that no mistake should come through me. That's the tefillah that I daven when I enter the Beis HaMedrash. Ubi yitziyasi, and when I leave the Beis HaMedrash, ani noisein hoido'o al chalki, I give hoido'o on my chelek, meaning on my lot. This is the perfect Gemara and Mishnah to learn, of course, on Erev Shavuos. He gives hoidoya to the fact that he's able to be in the Beis HaMedrash in the first place. So when he enters, he davens that he shouldn't make a mistake. We'll see exactly what that means in a moment. And when he leaves, he gives a tefillah, which is not a bakasha, it's a hoidoya. Hoidoya to the Rabbeinu Shloilam al chelki, that I have the chelak, I'm fortunate enough to be those who are Yeshvei Beis HaMedrash. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, B'knisosoy mahu oimer. When a person enters the Beis HaMedrash, what does he say? So Rav Nechunya ben Akona clearly was illustrating to us, he was teaching to us that there is an inyan to say a tefillah as you enter the Beis HaMedrash. He in particular said a very short tefillah, but the Braisa over here is indicating that there is a longer version that is to be said. B'knisosoy mahu oimer. Now let's take this slowly. Yihirotsoy milfonecho, may it be the will in front of you, Hashem Eloikai, sheloi ye'era dvar takola al yodi. That's a quote, word for word, from Reb Nechunya ben Akona, that no mistake should occur through me. Veloi ekoshel bedvar halocha. Neither should I stumble in any halachic matter. V'yismuchu bi chaveirai. Now there is a discussion how you're supposed to read this. Literally translated, v'yismuchu bi chaveirai. My chaveire, my friends, should be happy with me. Now, if you look at the words of the Mishnah of this Gemara very carefully, you'll notice that there's two ways of reading it, with a comma and without a comma. You could read it as follows. V'loi ekoshel bedvar halacha, comma. Number one, I should not stumble in any halachic matter. And now a brand new tefillah And I'm hoping and I would like v'yismuchu b'chaveroi, my friends, to be happy with me. But there's another reading without a comma. It's not two tefillos, rather v'loi eikoshel b'dvar halocha v'yismuchu b'chaveroi. I should not trip up. I should not stumble in a halacha, and my friends will rejoice in my stumbling. In other words, v'yismuchu b'chaveirai, according to this reading, is not a bakosha, may my friends please be happy. Rather, it's a continuation of what should not happen. What should not happen is that I should stumble in halacha and my friends will rejoice in my stumbling. If you look at Rashi,
isn't that in Pirkei Avos? It says that you should not rejoice at your friend's tirchala.
Right, exactly. So that's exactly the way Rashi does learn this. If you look at Rashi, Rashi clearly tells us that it was the second reading that was the correct one. Look at Rashi on the third top line. V'loi eikoshel v'yismuchu chaveirai al kishloini. Kishloini is like the word michshol, on my mistake. I should not slip up, and my friends will therefore rejoice by my tripping up. Because if that happens, hare ro'ois shtayim. Because then that's two bad things. Sheyovo al yodi, because what will happen as a result of me, she'egroim lohem, I am going to cause them, she'yeonshu, to be punished. In other words, it's true it's one tefillah, but it has two parts, even according to Rashi. If I ever trip up in halacha, and my friends rejoice in my downfall, then I, says the Braisa, am ultimately guilty of two things. Number one, having made that mistake in halacha. And number two, ultimately, being the cause of other people to be punished. Because if I wouldn't have made that mistake, then they wouldn't have rejoiced in my downfall.
Now, please move the mic closer.
Sorry?
Yeah. The mic needs to be closer.
Okay, this should be better.
Yeah. That's much better.
So therefore, two bad things, two negativities will emerge as a result of me making a mistake. Number one, the actual mistake, which is obviously bad enough in itself. But secondly, that will cause my friends to be punished. Why? Because they apparently are rubbing their hands with glee at my mistake. And I was the one who caused it. Because had I only not made that mistake, they'd have nothing to rejoice about. So Rashi is telling us that rather than reading it as two separate tefillahs, it's not a tefillah, number one, I shouldn't make a mistake, and number two, also, I would like my friends to be happy with me. Rather, it is one tefillah. I should not make a mistake which will result in my friends being happy at my downfall. Back into the Gemara. V'loy oimer, and I should never say, al tomei tohoir, v'loy al tohoir tomei. This is another chiddush. He's now giving examples of what type of mistake is he hoping not to make. He should never say about something which is tomei that it is tohoir, but neither should he do the other way around. Neither should he ever say that which is tahir and make it tummy. Those of you who, every Erev Rosh Chodesh, say Yom Kippur Cotton, you will notice that this is actually part of the tefillah that we say on Yom Kippur Cotton. We daven there that we shouldn't make a mistake. We should not say about that which is forbidden that it is permissible. But equally, we shouldn't say about that which is permissible that it's forbidden. Both ways round are just as bad as each other. if you paskin wrong, it makes no difference in which you, in which direction you make a mistake. Either way, it's wrong. Whether you are metame, something which is toher, or you're metaher, which is something that is tome, either way, the tefillah should be that something like that should never occur. Says the Braisa, V'lo yekoshlu chaveirai b'dvar halocha v'esmach bohem. Now this is the other side of the coin. Just like he davened that he himself, or one should daven that oneself, is not nichshal b'dvar halocha, which will cause others to be happy at his downfall, neither should my friends trip up in halacha, which might cause me to rejoice in their downfall. V'lo yikoshlu chaveirai b'dvar halacha, my friends should not trip up b'dvar halacha either, v'esmach bohem, which will cause me to rejoice to rejoice in their downfall. So that is the tefillah that one is supposed to say when one comes into the Beis HaMedrash. Basically, neither I or my chaverim, chas v'shalom, should not make a mistake in halacha, in either direction, either being too machme or too makel, because if I do make a mistake, or they make a mistake, besides for the tragedy of the actual mistake, but a further tragedy will of course be that that will cause others to rejoice in the downfall of the one who made a mistake. That's the tefillah that you say when you enter the Beis HaMedrash. B'yitziyosoi, what's the tefillah that one should say when you leave the Beis HaMedrash? Now, of course, this once again is based on Reb Nachumya ben Akone. We learn from Reb Nachumya ben Akone, good morning, Reb Nachum. We learn from Reb Nachumya ben Akone. Nachum, you can hear us?
Yes.
Great. We learn from Reb Nachumya ben Akone in the Mishnah that the tefillah that one says b'knisa is a bakosha, that no mistake should be made. The tefillah that you make b'yitzia, that's a different type of tefillah. That is a tefillah not of a bakosha, but rather a haidoya, a thanksgiving for being allowed to be in the Beis HaMedrash in the first place. And this is now the expounded version. B'yitziyosoi mahu oimer. When he leaves the Beis HaMedrash, what should he say? Oimer, moide ani lefonecho, Hashem Eloikai, shesamto chelki, that you made my chelek, my lot, is miyoshvei Beis HaMedrash. How fortunate I am, midaven, ashrei yoshvei veisecho. Fortunate is the one to be yoshev in the bais of Hashem. That, of course, was the solitary tefillah of David HaMelech. Acha shoalti me'eis Hashem. What did he daven? Shifti be'beis Hashem. I want to reside in the Beis Hashem. So therefore, those who are fortunate enough to do so should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that zechus. She'sam tochalki miyoshvei beis HaMedrash v'loi miyoshvei kronos. If you want, Blineda, after the Shia, I'll send you a little clip. I think it was our dear friend, Reb Bernard Bloch, who sent me a very short clip, 3 or 4 minutes, of one of the recent Dafaye Misiyumim in America. And there's a wonderful, young, talented Hasidisha singer called Reb Zanvil Weinberger. He's got the most gorgeous voice. And he sings with a whole full orchestra in background. He sings these very words that we're learning today. Lineda Ramesha Zelig, I'll send it to you. Maybe you can forward it through. I think you'll greatly enjoy it. It's absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
So we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for placing us in the Beis HaMedrash and not as being Yoshvei Kronos. Now, what does that mean, Yoshvei Kronos? Look at Rashi. Yoshve Kronos at the top on the third line at the end, says Rashi, Chenvanim, storekeepers, Oy Ame Ha'aretz, or just ignorant people, She'oiskim B'dvar Sicha, who involve themselves in idle chat. Now, what does that mean? Do you know what the key word in that Rashi is? There's nothing wrong with being a chenveni. There's nothing wrong with talking dvar sicha, having a chat. The key word in that Rashi is she'oiskim bedvar sicha. That is their esek. As opposed to what we all said this morning when we said the Birkas HaTorah, la'asoik v'divrei seirah. It's all about what your esek is. What is your prime involvement? There's nothing wrong in being a storekeeper. There's nothing wrong with being involved in sicha. How do I know there's nothing wrong being involved with sicha? It's a Mefurash Mishnah. Where's the Mishnah? In Ovis. The Mishnah says there are 48 ways of acquiring the Torah. And one of them is miut sicha. Miut sicha. It's a healthy thing. You have a chavrusa, you sit with him for an hour, for 2 hours, for 3 hours. Every so often, you just need to give your mind a break. How are you? What's news? How's the family? Says the Mishnah, that is one of the ways of being mekabel Torah. So clearly, there is nothing wrong, and to the contrary, it's considered advantageous to have miut sicha. But oiskim bedvar sicha, that's what Rashi is talking about. Oiskim bedvar sicha, when you see people sitting around, idle chat, and that is their esek, then we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm not one of them. To the contrary, my esek is in Torah. Says the Gemara, Sha'ani, what's the difference now between me, who I'm in the Beis HaMedrash, and those Yeshve Kronos who are wasting their time? Sha'ani mashkim v'heim mashkimim. I get up early and they get up early. However, ani mashkim l'divrei Torah. But I get up early, bright and early, 9 o'clock in the morning for the shir. Why? Because l'divrei Torah. That's how I begin my day. V'heim mashkimim. And they also get up early enthusiastically for what? The dvarim, the telim, for empty, void activities. Ani omol v'heim amelim. I toil and they toil. But look at the difference. Ani omol umakabel sachar. V'heim amelim v'heinom makablim sachar. I toil and they toil. They toil and don't get sachar, don't get reward. We toil and we do get reward. So I think everybody knows the famous pshat of the Heilige Chofetz Chaim in this Gemara. When the Chofetz Chaim asked, what does that mean that they toil and don't get sachar? That's not true. Look at somebody who's working hard to fashion a table, sweating for hours and hours, and eventually he comes out with a final product and sells it for $5,000. No, he got sechar. So how can you say that we are amelim, we toil and we get sechar, and they toil and they don't get sechar? Says the Chofetz Chaim in his usual genius of simplicity, he said, you know what the difference is? The guy can work and work and work and work at this table. Imagine it's all coming together, one leg, two leg. He's now to put on the top. It all looks absolutely wonderful. He's about to give it his final coat of varnish after 8 hours of work. And guess what? He just puts on that final lick of paint. The whole table collapses and crumbles in a dusty heap before him. How much schar will he get for that? Not a penny. Says the Chofetz Chaim, a goy And those who waste their time, they get schar, not for the amelus, but only for the final product. Let me see what you've managed to produce. How long you worked on it is irrelevant. And if you worked on it hard and there is no final product, the customer goes home. Whereas we are omol, says the Chofetz Chaim, umakabil schar. Even if somebody learns a Gemara and he works again, second time, third time, fourth time to try and get pshat, and it doesn't seem to be clear at the end. So what does all that mean? Waste of time? No. We get schar for the actual omol. Not our success is not measured in terms of final results. And the Heiliger Kotz Gereba, I'm sure you've all heard of his very famous one-liners. The Kotz Gereba was very famous for his sharp, to the point, Musa one-liners. So he once said, do you know what it means in the famous Gemara when it says, Yogati Veloy Motsosi, I toiled and I didn't find it. And the Gemara says, if somebody says that, don't believe him. I toiled and I didn't find it. Don't believe him. So the Kotz Gereba asked, why shouldn't you believe him? Sometimes it happens. Sometimes you toil and you learn and you work and you review and you go over it again and you just don't get it. So why should you not believe him? Said the Kotz Gereba, in a typical short one-line answer, do you know why you shouldn't believe him? Because if he was Yogati, then that is Motsosi. Then he has found it. What has he found? Maybe not the Pshat, but don't think it was a pointless exercise. If somebody said I toiled and it was for no reason and no purpose, don't believe him, because the toil is the purpose. Toil is the purpose. We've mentioned on many occasions the menorah, the complex, intricate, very difficult, in fact impossible to make menorah in the Beis Hamikdash, which the Mefarshim tell us corresponds to Torah Shebaal Peh. Who made the menorah in the end? Well, as Rashi famously tells us, if you look at the Pasuk, it says the menorah Te'oseh, became made. How did it become made? Because Moshe Rabbeinu tried and he tried and he tried and he tried and he couldn't do it. And eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, so put the menorah, put the gold in the fire, and it became made. It just emerged as a menorah. With, of course, the famous question being, so what was the point of the exercise? HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously knew that he would be unable to make the menorah. So why did he tell him to do so in the first place? And the answer is, Anu amelim umakablim zachar. We don't measure success in Torah, and the menorah represents the Torah, ki neir mitzvah v'Torah oir. The success in making the menorah is not measured in final results, rather in the toil itself. And that's what the lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, this is the tefillah. When one leaves the Beis HaMedrash, you say, listen, what's the difference between me and those who waste their time? We're both being omol. Nobody has a cushy life where you just put your feet up on the bench for 80 years. Everybody has to toil ultimately. But some only get paid reward based on final results. We, however, get schar for the actual omol. And that's part of our hoidah as we leave the Beis HaMedrash.
When we say this tefillah, are we thinking of goyim and an am haaretz, a chiloni, all of the above?
Yes. You see from Rashi clearly that Yoshev Kronos, Rashi made no mention of goyim. Rashi says, could be am haaretz, ignorant people who, maybe through no fault of their own, they didn't get to the Beis HaMedrash, they don't appreciate the Beis HaMedrash, that may be. The tefillah continues. Ani rots, v'heim rotsim. We're all running. We all live in a very high-speed life, especially in 2020. Everybody's running. Everybody's dashing about. But look at the difference. Ani rats lechaye olam haba. I'm running to the world to come. The Hamrotsim, they're also running. Where? Lebe'er shachas, literally translated, the well of doom. Meaning Gehenna, they're not going anywhere with their lives. They're rushing around, just waiting for their battery to expire, and then they drop. And where do they go next? Nowhere. That is the difference. So there are three differences that this tefillah has pointed out. Number one, we all get up early. But for what? Is it Divrei Torah or is it Dvarim Batalim? We're all being amelim. We're all toiling. But do we get schar for it or not? And we're all running, but where are we running to? If somebody is a Yoshvei Beis HaMedrash, he's being mashkim with Divrei Torah, he's being omeil on the kabal schar, and he's running l'chaye ha'olam haba, then that truly deserves a thanksgiving. Okay, so you know what, maybe we'll clock out now and we'll re-clock back in. As Rabbi Akiva came home with his Talmidim and his woman came out, they didn't know it was his wife. And the Talmidim tried to banish her, and he turned round to them and he said famous two words that have reverberated through history. Shalochem, shaloch. Everything you have is hers, so don't banish her. So here we are, this was my wife, she got the computer going. Nachum, are you with us?
Yes. Sure my kids... Done? My kids were coming into the camera, so I paused.
We're happy
it
to see them. We're happy. We take all ages here. Okay, let's just continue for a few moments. I can't go on too long. I have another shiur, so let's continue on a little bit. Honor Rabbanon, Keshechola Reb Eliezer, Nichnasu Talmidov Levakrei. When Reb Eliezer became ill, his Talmidim came to visit him. Omru loy Rabbeinu, they said to him, Omru loy, Rabbeinu, our great master Reb Eliezer, Lamdeinu Orchas Chaim, teach us the ways of life, v'nizke bohen l'chaye olam haba, such that we can merit entering olam haba. So he told them three things. Omalahem, number one, hizharu b'chvoid chavereichem. Be very careful, be concerned with the kavod of your chaverim, number one. Number two, umanu and refrain or withhold b'neichem, your children, min hahigoyoin. Now, what does that mean? Min ha-higoyon. So look at Rashi. Min ha-higoyon. Loi targilum. Targilum from the word rogil. Do not get them used to the mikro yoisa midai. Don't get them too used to reading chumish mishum demoshcha, because it will draw them. What does it mean it will draw them? Eventually they'll get sucked in and they'll never leave and they won't learn other things. Or loshen acher, an alternative pshat is, don't let them be involved too much, mesichas yelodim, with child chat. It's perfectly legitimate for children to play, but that's not the only thing they should be involved with. So Rava says the Gemara, what should you do with your children? V'hoishivum, place them bein birkei talmidei chachamim, between the knees of talmidei chachamim, which obviously means ensure that they have a kesher with talmidei chachamim. U'kesha'atem mispalalim, and when you daven, du'u, you shall know, lefnei mi'atem oimdim, in front of whom are you standing, u'bishvil kach tizku lo'olam chaya olam haba. And if you practice these three things, then indeed you'll be zeicha to a life of olam haba. So he told them three things in all. Number one, be very concerned with the kavod of your friends. Number two, make sure your children learn properly. And number three, when you daven, you should know in front of whom are you davening. So the Pnei Yeshua says, this obviously corresponds to the Mishnah that tells us that there are three amudim on which the world stands: Torah, Avodah, and Gemilus Chasodim. So Torah, he quite clearly told them, make sure your children are involved in Torah learning. Avodah, which is Tefillah, he told them, make sure you know whom you're standing in front of when you daven. And Gemilus Chasodim, which is Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, that's why he said, be very concerned with the kavod of your chaver and of your friends. Okay, so we'll press pause with regard to the Gemara for the moment, and maybe just a moment or two on the upcoming Yom Tov of Shavuos, because I think the Gemara that we learned today could not possibly have been a better introduction. By the way, Ramesh Zelig, I sent you the clip. I don't know if you saw it.
Yes, I already forwarded it to the Chabura.
Great. Okay, I hope you all enjoy it. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
The feeling that we have, and we should have, especially having just learned a Gemara like the one we did, the feeling that we have as we approach Shavuos, I think, is the following. Imagine if you were walking down the street and you hear a big commotion, beautiful music, singing, and it's a wedding hall. You pass a wedding hall and it sounds like a beautiful sound, great simcha, tremendous excitement emerging from there. So you can't resist, and you step inside the chasana. You have no idea who's getting married, where they're from. You do not know these people. It's certainly not a member of your family or a friend of yours, but you can't resist having a look. It will not take long at all to work out who the chasan is, which one is the father of the chasan, which ones are the siblings, which ones are the close friends, which ones are the not so close friends, and which ones don't really have much connection. You don't have to be a genius to work out. The one who's in the middle, the one whose simcha is radiating from his face, is clearly the chasan. The one who's almost as happy looking as the chasan is obviously the father, and then the relatives, and then the friends, and the person sitting at the side of the hall looking bored, he's obviously some fourth cousin who's been dragged there by his wife. He's a neighbor who doesn't really have much kesher, but he's been told, you better come to this chasna, it's not nice otherwise. But he's got no real kesher. He can't really generate an excitement because he doesn't really feel connected at all. And you can see it all over him. As we approach Matan Torah, which to any loymeid Torah, to any Yoshev Beis HaMedrash, is really, to a certain extent, the central day of the year, where are we in that circle of dancing? Are we in the middle? Are we the chosen Torah? Are we at least the father of the chosen? Are we the cousin, the second cousin? Or are we the bored neighbor who's been dragged along, sitting at the edge of the hall, looking at his watch, when can we just get out of this hall? That's the feeling that really, as we approach Shavuos, And we, Be'ezus Hashem, will all feel that we are right there in the middle of the circle. This is our big day. For the Yoshvei Kronos, this is a day of cheesecake. For the Yoshvei Beis HaMedrash, this is a big, super big day. And in fact, the moshel to the chasana is a very fair moshel, because Chazal very famously tell us on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Yoim Chasunosoi Ze Matan Torah. This is the day that in fact we were, as it were, married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Torah Tziva Lanu Moirosha Kehilas Yaakov, and everyone knows the famous Chazal. The word Moirosha can also be read as Ma'urosa, which means betrothed. We became betrothed, engaged and married, kavayachol, to the Rabbeinu Shalom. What does that mean? When we all stood under the chuppah, however many years ago it was, and we gave our wives a ring, and we said, Hare at Mekudeshes Li. What does that mean? Mekudeshes, you're holy? You're holy to me? Is that what it means? That you're kadosh? What does it mean, Mekudeshes? It sounds like I'm making her into hektash. Those of you who are with us when we learn Kiddushin will remember that that's exactly what you are doing. Because the very famous Tosis in the beginning of Kiddushin says, when you take an item and you dedicate it to hektash, what in fact are you doing? What you are saying now is that this is exclusive rights, exclusive property of Hektash, and by definition, no one else's. There is an Issa d'Oraisa to misappropriate Hektash. This has become firmly connected with the Beis HaMikdash, and by definition, therefore, disconnected to everybody else. And Tosfos says, that's what happens when you give your wife the ring and you say, hurry up, Mekudeshes Li. Until that point, 10 seconds before you gave her the ring, she's not Mekudeshes. She is, as it were, available to any man on planet Earth. Now that she's Mekudeshes to you, she becomes linked. She becomes connected to you, and by definition, disconnected from everybody else. And if she becomes connected to somebody else, that's an Issa d'Oraisa. When we became Mekudeshes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, when we put on our tefillin this morning and we all said, Ve'erastich li lo'ilam, we are betrothed, married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what that means is that through Torah, and specifically through Amelos Batoira, that's how we become connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We become connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Mefarshim explain that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, if you open the Chumashim afterwards, you'll see it. There was not just the giving of the Torah, but if you look at the end of Parashas Mishpatim, there was also a forging of a covenant. There was a bris. It wasn't just, here is the rule book, the do's and the don'ts. If you do what you have to, Olam Haba. If you don't, Chas V'Shalom Gehenna. No, there was a bris. There was a connection forged between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that bris is the marriage. That's the connection that we have between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The medium is the Torah. As I think we all know the famous phrase, it's widely quoted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, and the Torah are one. We connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the medium of Torah. We are connected, we are the Am Hashem, which means by definition that nobody else is. So it's quite a scary but very exciting thought at the same time. How do I measure? Is there a machine that measures my connection with Hashem? Is there a Hashem connectometer? that I can measure from 1 to 10. My chibur, my bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the answer is, there is no machine that can measure it. The way you measure it is my commitment to Torah, and specifically Amelus Vatorah. Not whizzing through pages just to cover ground and make siyumim, but rather learning slowly to understand every word and to appreciate that each word of the Gemara is the Dvar Hashem, and through it I connect to Hashem. That is what this day is all about. And it's been pointed out that when Har Sinai was suspended above our heads, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you accept the Torah, that's fine, and if not, there'll be terrible consequences, the mountain suspended over our head also looked like a chuppah. Because that's what it was. Had we not accepted, dire consequences. But we said Na'aseh v'nishma, so the mountain became like a chuppah. Everybody knows, the Gemara says, Kofar aleim har kegigis. What's a gigis? A gigis is a barrel. You're surrounded on all sides, just like a chuppah. The mountain was a chuppah with which we became, as it were, married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we committed ourselves to Torah. Those who took part in our parasha shir the other week, we discussed at great length that we were not just mekabel to keep mitzvahs, but we were mekabel on ourselves specifically to learn Torah. And that's why Shavuos is a day of limud Torah, because that's what we were mekabel on ourselves. So when we say that tefillah that we just learned, that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for not putting us as Yoshvei Kronos, but rather as a Yoshev Beis HaMedrash, what we are in fact thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for giving us the opportunity to connect with Him. To connect with Him. Because the Yoshvei Kronos don't have that chance. We, therefore, Be'ezos Hashem, tonight, are the Chasanim. We are the Chosn Torah, because Baruch Hashem, we have that zechus to be a Yeshev Beis HaMedrash every single day, which is not something that we should take for granted. One must make sure, this is a very, very auspicious time, as the Sforim point out, the Shlah and others, for davening, specifically for Hatzlocha in Limud Torah. So much so that he famously writes the Shlah, this, in fact, is the Yoim HaDin. We have a Yoim HaDin on Rosh Hashanah. This is a Yoim HaDin now on Shavuos that will decide our future and coming year with regards specifically to Limud Torah. So use the day well, whether you are able to go to shul or whether you'll be at home. But all of us will learn to the best of our ability to feel Be'ezras Hashem that Simcha. Simchas Chosn, the Chosn Torah, and above all, to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say that we thank you on the one hand for putting us in the Beis HaMedrash in the first place. We daven that it should continue, and it should not just continue, it should strengthen. We should be able to commit ourselves to more learning time, to more Amelus Vatorah time, such that the bris, the connection that we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will become stronger and stronger and stronger. Be'ezus Hashem, I wish you all a wonderful Yom Tov, and Amitz Hashem will reconvene after Yom Tov and Shabbos on Sunday morning. Don't forget, everybody, to make an Erev Tashilin today. I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful Yom Tov.
Good Yom Tov. Thank you, Rav. Good Yom Tov, everyone.
All two.
Yom Tov. Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Regarding on Shavuos night with children,
yeah.
How should I...